When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Shadow fam, this is Catherine McNamara. We love being your host for Return to the Shadows, reliving old memories and going back to the good old days of Shadowhunters. So we're excited to share a very special announcement. We are teaming up with Moment for an exciting live episode of the podcast. It will have all of your favorite things, BTS stories, Klace lore, and of course, Dom and me. Nothing mundane, we promise. And the best part is there will be a live chat for some Q&A, some games, and more. By the angel, we can't wait. Tickets are on sale now at moment.co/returntotheshadows. See you March 22nd.
How you doing?
This is terrifying to see the three of us here. I'm nervous.
I don't know what to make of it. Are you terrified?
Look at my hair this morning.
I'm like, goodness, I was just about to say, you're letting it grow out. I'm into it.
I like it.
I'm totally, I feel like very 90s right now with some sort of middle part, you know?
But yeah, you've got an NSYNC thing going on.
Hey, the middle parts are perfectly valid. That's what the kids are doing again.
What are they doing? The middle part? Oh, I've
the
seen.
Part.
Oh, trust me, I'm very in touch with the.
Are you on fleek, Matt?
Community. I know about the younger kids these days. I know what they say, and I know their hairstyles, and I'm very impressed by a lot of the work.
It's very British. It's a very British thing. They're all at the gym. I literally just got back from the gym, and all of them have that center part, but like dead straight, like the David Beckham
and
thing.
And this stuff like that goes down to here, and then and then it goes like this.
Like it goes
off
up
the top of the head. Have you seen it, Kat?
But like shaved everywhere else. It's like a reverse mullet. It's mental.
No, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's wild. I don't know. It's the style, you know. We're just out of touch because of our.
I think we're out of touch. Yeah.
Older
if we were filming Shadowhunters now, that's what it would all look like. It would be the duckbill swoop.
Could you imagine? I'd have a middle part. You guys would have all these flips and shit. Oh my lord.
Yeah, it'd be a different show.
Oh no, we would look so different.
Well, Dom and I were talking about this the other day because we were looking back at some of the fashion and some of the stuff. The number
chokers.
Of chokers that Emerald and I wear in the show
the
is insane.
Chokers?
Yeah.
Those are very in right now.
Are they? Have they come back again?
They've come
Has
back.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
You don't know. You don't know what's going on.
I might. Here's the thing is that if I declare it's true and it happens. Sorry. Okay,
That's
let's
true.
Get started.
That's true.
Wait, I'm eating peanuts and I just want two more and then you can start.
All right. Well, while you eat peanuts, I'm just going to start this off and just say, welcome back to Return to the Shadows. Today, Dom and I think are beyond excited because we have not only one of the most special people in the world of Shadowhunters, but one of our favorite people. The one, the only, Alec Lightwood, Matthew Daddario. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kat. That was a lovely introduction. I feel honored.
I'm a little disappointed, actually. I thought we were having Alberto back on. I've been hoodwinked.
Yeah, that's the only way
Dom,
I got Dom
that,
here.
You want to start this today, Dom? You want to go from there?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I mean, we can start. I was going to lean into it a little bit.
Let's start as we mean to go on. I'm into it.
Yeah, angels, just to let you all know, this is just a little peek into what actually went down on the Shadowhunter set. Just utter shenanigans all the time. You don't even know.
You don't know. It was chaos. The show was canceled because of us. That's the real truth. They just couldn't take us anymore.
Oh, we're finally telling them.
Wow,
the
guys.
The truth is, it was us. It was our misbehavior and our constant, unrelenting aggression toward each other. It was mean. Mm. Spiteful, hateful, even.
Hooliganism is what it really was. I almost said hooliganism. Yeah, but it's hooliganism.
Hula
what it really is. Hula Hoop.
Was there a Hula Hoop on set that I missed? That would have been, that makes me so sad.
Oh, man, now I'm stuck on that word. Hubulumumalism.
All right, so what are we dealing with today? What are we talking about? What's the deal? Is that the full introduction? Do you need more things? Is this the extent of what you guys do?
This is pretty much what we do. We just ramble. It's
literally, it's exactly like a convention. That's all it is. We just have microphones. Oh, wait, we have microphones at conventions as well. It's very similar to a convention, except I'm on a chair that I like. I will tell you this. I'm on the floor. Dude, this is mental. I have this stool right in front of me, which is what I use for auditions. It's really uncomfortable. And for the first, not kidding, 50 episodes of this show, that's what I sat on. And I was uncomfortable the whole time. And then I realized that I could just turn this from my living room directly into this space.
I mean, what a revelation, Matt. You know, it's just breaking news. Dom turned a chair and now he's comfortable.
It took some time.
Very impressive that you figured that out. It's this display of genius is really what I miss.
You would love this chair. You're making fun, but you would love this chair. I bought this chair and I went, Matt would love this. And I got it at a discount. And I know you love that.
Ever shown an interest in comfortable chairs? Is that something that I'm sort of, you believe about
me? Yeah, you had a hammock. You lived in a hammock for like the first 2 years of filming the show.
Okay. We'll get to the hammock.
A hammock, just to be clear though, you wanted to study, as long as, okay, well, listen, a hammock is quite different from a chair. These are two very different things. And if you're going to say that you know me so well.
Okay. You know what? This is what we're doing. I'm going to show you how to
do it. Dom, I don't think you want to be at that angle.
Now it's like a hammock. Tell me this.
I don't think
like
you want to be at that angle. I really don't.
I don't care.
Okay.
Well, I'll do this.
You're just crotch first into the microphone.
How dignified. Tell me this isn't like a hammock now.
All right. Oh, dear.
Tell me this isn't like a hammock. I'm so far away from my microphone.
You're just crotch first into the microphone. All right. Oh, dear. So, while Dom is in
give
his
me some
hammock,
structure
we're
right
talk.
Now. We need structure.
This is as much structure as we get on this show. So welcome. Matt, let's talk a little bit about you because obviously so many of these folks have seen you on the show. They adore you as we do. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about Matt. The Matt up until Shadowhunters. So you were born and raised in New York City.
Maybe.
Allegedly. Allegedly born and raised in New York
City.
This
is already a nightmare.
We're all from places, and I'm from New York City is what you're saying. And I think that I sound like somebody from New York City.
You do.
But that's all you've got. That's all the proof you've got. So continue. What else about me? Tell me more about me. I want to know.
Tell you more about you. You went to Indiana University. Actually, Matt, you and I have the same university degree, which is very interesting.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Like you graduated with a degree.
Yes.
What was our study?
Mine or yours?
Well, it's the same.
My official degree is majored in either finance and then economics as a minor, or it was economics, business economics, and public policy, I believe.
Okay. Well, I didn't have the public policy part, but mine was also a bachelor of science.
That was just thrown on there. What is even public policy? Business economics, public policy. What does it even really mean, you know?
Whatever you want it to mean, Matt. But it's a bachelor of science in business administration, you know? That's what we did.
I should be running. I'm supposed to be. I was designed
by robots
to run public policy. Robots.
Robots you see, designed
now, one of
the things, you, right?
One of the problems we had in Shadowhunters, we had a problem in Shadowhunters, and I want to discuss this. It's a very serious problem.
Tell us more.
It was something that was never brought up, and I think because there's just a sort of a innate hatred on that set for robots.
For robots,
and I think
you didn't
the
have
reason
any
is,
robots.
No robots. You think you have all this technology, and I know a lot of. There's a lot of sort of magical elements at play here, but we never built a robot. And if you thought about it, you know, even just a robot, one of those like vacuum robots that goes through,
No,
we had a Roomba. No. Dom had a Roomba. Do you remember Rancor?
Yeah, I remember Rancor. And then since the show, you remember Rancor, the little robot that used to eat my curtains all the time?
Yeah.
He was a nightmare. Yeah. And then I threw him out. And then I said, okay, I'm going to get a Rancor 2. And I got a Rancor 2 when I was in L.A., he was a nightmare as well. He would clean one spot of my of my house, and it was only exactly where my feet were. And I tested it. Like, this is what happens when actors in between jobs, so you're unemployed, you play video games, and you do stupid shit like this. A lot of free time, right? So I would walk around the house with a cup of tea and see if it followed me, and it used to follow me around like a puppy. It was the weirdest thing. And it was so only trail around my house that would get clean is exactly where I'm standing. It was mental.
See, now, Dom, this thing happened to you and you don't realize that that's the first step towards sentience. This thing was searching for love, for care.
Right.
It was like a small duckling following its mother. It was, you didn't
put this together. It imprinted on you.
Yeah, it imprinted on you. Very good, Cat. That sounds like...
No, I did. That's why I threw them out. That's why I threw it out. I 100% put this together. This is how Maximum Overdrive started and Terminator and like 18 other robot movies. There's no way I was having that in my house. I actually sent it to you.
But wait, if you threw it out or sent it to someone else, didn't you anger it further?
No. That's why I sent it to Matt. What he did was he killed it. He killed a living sentient being. Probably the first example of a robot becoming sentient, and he killed it. Now, this is the thing, is I think that this is actually better than how the Shadow Hunters would have handled it. You see, what we would have done in the Shadow Hunter world, we would have said, okay, well, look at this potential menace here. You know, what we should do is, I don't know, nothing, to see how it plays out.
Because see what happens.
If you've never watched the show, anyone who's listening to this, one of the things the Shadow Hunters were very good at was ignoring realistic and obvious threats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even inviting them in, even creating those threats entirely by their own sort of will. Yes. And Kat's character, Clary, was especially talented at this.
Well remembered. I was unsure if you were going to remember all the character names. You've got the lead, so that's a good start. I'm very proud of you.
Well,
who did I play?
You know, I did my research. Dom played.
If you say Jason, Jace. I'm going to fly to Minneapolis and punch you in the face.
Jace.
Wherever you live. Jace. Good. Very good.
Jace. Yeah,
what's Jace short for? Because he's got little legs.
What?
This is me. This is me sober. Like entirely sober. I haven't had a sip of alcohol. That might be top five stupidest things I've ever said in my entire life.
That was almost a me joke.
Little legs.
Are you okay?
Because he has little legs. What do you mean you don't understand? What's he short for? Like, what's the reason for him being short is the joke.
Why is he short?
Because he's got little legs. Not what is Jay short for, his full name.
Yeah, dumb. Yeah.
If anyone else there is a dumb like Matty and didn't understand the joke, I just gave you a play-by-play explanation of exactly why that's funny.
I understand it. And I thought actually it was very funny. And I'm very sore about it because it made me chuckle, but I didn't want it to.
Okay. Well, Matt, we're very sorry for forcing humor upon you this morning. But back to the structure of the show. This is half of my job on this podcast.
Tell us a little bit about,
you know, now you're an actor, you're a producer, you've directed things, you're writing things, you're so involved in this industry, but that's not what you went to school for. So is that always where you wanted to go, or what brought you kind of into this world that then brought you to Shadowhunters?
Here, I'll give you a little sincerity for a moment, which I do not promise will continue. I think that I was reading something recently. This man was asking a question. He said that he wanted to be an artist, and he doesn't like his job, and he wants to be an artist. And he says, somebody asked him, what specifically is it that you want to do? What do you want to create? Art is kind of a broad subject, right? And he's like, I just want to create stuff. I just want to feel creative. I want to be an artist. And it's kind of an interesting thought, because you could sort of reject that very aggressively and say, well, that's silly. Different forms of art require different sort of skills and different educations and whatever else. And in his case, it wasn't really like that. It was like, I don't really care how good it is at first. I want to get better at it, and I want to learn to create things. And I think that in the case of when you're an actor, when you're in this industry in general, you are so exposed to all the parts of it that they start to sort of meld together. And especially when you're on a show like Shadowhunters for a long time, you're exposed to all areas of that business. And it doesn't make you good at the other ones, but it does expose you to them, and you see their value. You see how you might want to take part in those other areas. And eventually, when it comes down to it, and I think this is something that's said a lot, maybe overset, is that you want to tell stories and you want to create something artistic, for lack of a better word there. I don't really know what else to say. You want to create something, an art. You want to create a story. You want to tell people a story that they find interesting. And I think that you can sometimes do that through acting, but other times you might have to make things. You have to maybe write things. And if they're not good, then they don't get made. And that's okay, you know, but at least you're doing it. And as Dom said, sometimes if you're an actor, you have a lot of free time and you can spend that time twiddling your thumbs and sitting out in the fields, which would be really cool, actually. Just sit out in the grass all day and just wait for the next phone call.
It's quite therapeutic.
It is, except if you did it, 9 hours a day, it's not really a good use of your time. It probably would get boring unless you're really chill. I'm not. So I do other things. And as I've been doing them over these years, I think I've been getting better at them. And I'm actually really starting to enjoy it.
You said you weren't going to eat any more peanuts.
I'm going to, though.
It was a really eloquently beautiful story. And you finished it by breaking your one rule for the podcast.
It wasn't that beautiful.
I'm not saying his one rule in life is not to eat peanuts. That doesn't make any sense. It was. Yeah, it was very sincere.
It was very nice, Matt. Thank you.
It was nice. If I'm honest, I was waiting for a punchline the whole time. You had mischief written all over your face.
But I think we've just forgotten. That's just Matt.
It's difficult to tell sometimes.
What is it that, you guys are both actors. But yeah. I know that both of you like to tell kind of story. I know that you guys actually really like this whole movie and TV thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you have any aspirations beyond acting? Or do you just
I want to be a space cowboy.
could act as a space cowboy.
No, I want to be a space cowboy.
Yeah, but that's not really art, is it? Or is everything art?
Everything's
art. Depends
on
how you do it, Anything can be art.
If science is art, then I would say everything's art.
I could argue science is art.
You know what? I'm just going to accept that. It's like when somebody says something really just succinct like that. Science is art, so everything is art. And you know what? I'm not going to even read into what that means because I don't even know what that means. But I unpack it.
You can feel what that means.
I don't, but I think you can feel. That's a great saying also. You can feel what that means. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I like it because it's vague. Doesn't really say anything, and it accomplishes this task, which is to basically tell Matt to stop talking and move on to the next point. So I can
That's
feel what you mean right now.
Okay. You can feel what I mean.
So tell me about when I first showed up on set. I want to know.
When did we lose control here? When did this happen?
I want you to tell me how
no,
you
no,
felt.
No, just let it happen. Just,
I want
let
you
it happen.
To tell me how
just
you felt upon first seeing me. I want you to describe your level of elation.
My first thought, because I had just landed and all of y'all were there already, and you whisked me away to dinner, and I met you, and my first thought was tall.
Tall?
Yeah. Literally my first thought.
So many more adjectives that could have been used to describe Matt, but you
went with tall. I know, but that was so
right
clear. It was my first thought. I was like, wow, this man is tall.
That's accurate.
But then I could tell because you like, you take some time to get to know people, generally speaking. And I could tell, I was like, there's more to this man. This will be fun.
Than just
I
tall.
Have, I have layers. I have depth. Yeah. And then there was nothing. Nothing came from that.
No, it really
lots
is
came
just
from
tall,
that.
Actually.
It just,
that's,
you
oh,
know,
that's
seven
where,
years
that's
later,
landed.
Lots came from that, Matt.
No, I would say 7 years later, tall is how I describe him. When people ask, what's he like? What was it like working with him for that many years?
Tall.
I say, he's tall.
Tall.
Okay. I accept this, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I think tall and layered is what you said. A lot of depth, you said. A very interesting and fascinating person. You said all of that. And Dom, what's your opinion?
Opinion was, I was there first, so I sort of heard the casting announcements coming in. And that sensation of, when you're about to have a heart attack?
No, Dom.
And it's just dread, like dread, full dread. Like the world is coming
fear.
To an end.
Like being fear. On a first date with somebody and you see them and they're just amazing. This is
no,
fear.
Like being on a first date with someone and they turn up and they're the epitome of your worst enemy. And you're like, oh no, everyone said this was going to happen, but I ignored them and I'm here anyway. And then I spent 4 years making the best of it.
You know, it's like the beginning of every great film about two buddies. You start off hating each other, and then over time, you grow. One of you grows
like aliens.
And becomes a more mature, impressive person, more mature, capable individual. And eventually, that person is up to the standards of the other person, and they become friends.
Got it. So in my analogy, aliens, obviously, maybe the best coming-of-age buddy story.
You implanted an egg in me?
No, I'm saying you're the queen. I would think you're the queen.
I'm the queen, monster.
Matthew
I
Dario
think you're the queen monster.
I put the egg into you, and then I burst
that,
out of your.
She never does that. She never does that. The queen never does that. The queen lays the eggs. We need to watch Aliens again, man. I was seeing myself as Sigourney Weaver or Newt.
You I mean, that is an outrageous. Sigourney Weaver is a legendary.
Goddess.
I can't. Yeah. Honestly, it's just outrageous for you to make that claim. But I actually, you know what? You do give me Sigourney vibes sometimes.
Yeah. That's yeah, you're a hell
powerful,
of a compliment.
You're strong, you're independent, very capable. Kat, you also give me Sigourney vibes sometimes. Although,
thank you.
I think Sigourney's quite tall.
Yes, I'm quite sure. I am but wee.
But wee.
Like, a bit wee.
Casting process. So when did you, were you aware of the books? Had you read them? Had you seen the film? When you first got this in your inbox, what were your initial thoughts?
Your casting story is my favorite of all of them.
Give it to the people, Matt.
Just, okay, fine. I'll throw a bone here. Okay, so the story is previously I'd auditioned for the film. Years before, that was my first exposure to this. And I auditioned for Jace, I believe, at the time. I wasn't right for the role because I wasn't a stupid idiot, but then I eventually got this audition for the TV show version, and they auditioned me for Alec. Maybe they auditioned me for Jace first. Now I don't even remember. This is so long ago, guys. You have to understand the years just they keep flying by.
Well, this it was almost 8 years ago that we were auditioning.
Yeah.
Is it really just that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was, almost in like a month or two.
I go in, I do the audition in New York. I get a phone call. They tell me you got to go to LA for the audition in front of the big wigs or whatever. And you walk into a room, lots of people in this big dark room, and you do your thing and then you leave. And then the next morning they call me and they say, you're doing this show. And I go, oh, great. That's awesome. And they said, you have to make a Twitter account or Instagram or social media accounts. And you have to like make them open. And I'm like, well, that sounds like fun. Social media is a great thing that everybody likes and has never harmed anyone or society as a whole. So I love that. And I get to the airport, I get on a plane, and then I get off the plane. And I remember that my phone wasn't really working because it was just, you have to turn off notifications. And it was, so the show was very big from the get-go, and I learned that. So then I had to dive into it. So casting-wise, actually, the part that I find more interesting, and I think this is true for lots of TV shows and when people get cast in things, is that you generally get cast, you're excited, then you go to work, you know, and then you hope, you say, okay, how is this going to be received? Is this going to go in a direction that's going to continue? Are people going to like me? Are people going to like this? We didn't have that experience at all. And I don't really know how to describe exactly what it was like. It was every single day was like people telling you, you're going to do great. We're really proud of you. And then other people questioning, you know, cautiously optimistic. And then they release some information or release some footage and people go crazy. And you're like, wow, is this going to be big when it releases? And then it comes out and people are enthusiastic. So it was just sort of a general positivity from day one to the end. And it was kind of strange. There was no, oh, I'm off filming quietly. It was like from the beginning, it's like we've already released. So that was a sort of unique experience.
You're right. Actually, yeah, nobody's really touched on that yet, that from the beginning, it already felt like a success. Even if we'd only done that first season, it already felt like a success. Because normally, as Matt was saying, with any other TV show or movie that doesn't have like a solidified fan base, so it's not a sequel or it's not based on something or whatever, you do try something and you go, fingers crossed, like, let's hope that people like this, because we have truly no idea. You have no idea how this is going to land with an audience. And you can test audiences, you can see what's going on socially, you can try and sort of figure out and second guess things, but sometimes that just doesn't work. And it's just not the case, which is really interesting. See?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of great shows that go unnoticed. You know, sometimes they get noticed later on or they get canceled, who knows? And you're like, what did I do wrong? On to the next one. And this never really felt like that. This was a very different
experience. More than shows getting canceled, like there are so many pilots that happen that could have turned into great shows and never evolved past that stage. There are so many scripts out there that don't ever get made, that are genius, that are brilliant, but they never get to that stage.
The best movie ever made is sitting on a desk somewhere and on paper, and sitting on a hard drive. That's just how it is. on my desk.
On your desk. I mean, I...
That's anyway. Some real LA nonsense right there.
But you're right, Matt. We were really lucky because we had this kind of microcosm of being released into the world in little bits and pieces with a fandom that was so excited and a fandom that was... had the books and the film, but they were still ready to be open to something new. And that's, you know, yes, there was some questioning and yes, there's, you know, people wanted it to be done well and were cautiously optimistic, but largely pretty open to us at coming in and kind of taking over the story that they loved so much.
It was almost universally positive. I didn't see any negativity.
I was just Googling what microcosm meant.
Chasm?
I almost misspelt it, and it was very close to coming up with a whole bunch of different results.
That would be interesting.
You know what? See, it chasms. You ever been to Mount Everest?
No, yeah. Have you?
No, I haven't.
I went to the top, yeah. But I took your flag off the top, actually. I went right after you.
Oh, you did?
And I was like,
oh, thank you.
Get rid of Matt's stamp here. Yeah.
I was thinking that the Shadowhunters maybe should have spent more time in obscure or outrageous locations. We spent a lot of time in New York. I know that was our jurisdiction. And I know that sometimes we would, you know, kick on out to other places. But I really think one of the things would have been great is if we had gone to all kinds of bizarre locations.
You know, we went to hell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's more of a metaphorical place.
And
the Sealy Realm. Again, interdimensional travel is not quite...
We went to Prague.
Are they dimensions or are they realms? What's the
hell was a... Hell is
it's a
place.
Realm. It's a realm.
It's a realm?
What is a realm? Is a realm like, is the ocean a realm?
No, I think it's just an adjacent plane of existence.
It's a different, same plane of existence, same dimension?
It's an adjacent plane of existence. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's another dimension, but I would say it's...
Well, then what's the difference between a dimension
it's
and a
realm? Existing within the same universe at a different adjacent... I think this is... Okay, you know, there's somebody who could answer this for us, I'm sure. So let me just hop on to, you know, Reddit or something and just ask that question.
Sweet.
I'm sure somebody will give me an answer. So I'll get back to you guys later about that.
Cool.
But in the meantime...
This is what we missed.
This used to happen on set. This is a Matt Daddario special.
And we've spoken about this a whole bunch. We've talked about our round table a lot, which is it's actually a really lovely thing to have and doesn't happen particularly frequently on a TV set. Like the round table they gave for us, and we'd all sit around it and have snacks and like chat in between scenes. And you will go off on some ludicrous tangent like we just have. What's the difference between a dimension and a realm? Did we have realms? Is the moon just the back of the sun? Nobody knows. So then you would get into that and go...
People know that one, Dom.
I'm going to Google... Do they? Shut it. Then you would go, I'm going to Google this and I'm going to figure out the real answer. And then we would move on to whatever the next facet of conversation is. And you would come back like 8 or 9 minutes later and be like, oh, this is fascinating. Oh God! This is fascinating.
I think it's weird that you're calling these things tangents, right? But it's just knowledge, so it's not really a tangent. And in this case, I need to make very clear: actors between scenes are sometimes extremely bored. Not all the time. Sometimes it can be like nonstop work where there's no escape from it. But other times, you are sitting there and you're going to read stuff, or you can talk to each other. You can stare at your phone and press buttons. Who the heck knows what you're going to do? But when you have enough time around other people, you can't just listen to people speculate all the time. You got to sometimes, you know, solve the question at hand. And then that also opens up new questions, which I think is really great. I mean, we can speculate all day about all kinds of things. I think it's great, for example, when people speculate about the show. I think it almost brings new life to it. It's more fun when somebody can talk about what if. You know, what if we had done? What if we had gone to Mount Everest, which was my original question, which you guys just you steamrolled me.
Well done. Well done for bringing us back. Good job.
It's true.
Okay.
Well done.
Get you back on track here. That's your primary. So anyway, you guys have never been to Mount Everest as people, right?
No.
But it seems like it's very high up. Have you heard about this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world.
It's the tallest mountain on Earth, they say. Yeah. And
it's the tallest place on Earth, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, what about the sky?
Is the sky a place? Is that a realm?
Well, clouds are a place. What are all the clouds? Is a realm, different levels? You see, okay.
The cloud realm.
Mount Everest. Mount Everest should have been a place when there should have been demons inside the mountain.
Okay.
Okay, because like if you think about it, is hell inside the earth?
Like Lord of the Rings, like the dwarves. Like they have their own little, their mines. They have mines in the thing.
The mines of Moria, etc.
Mines of Moria.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
wouldn't
I think
that be not our jurisdiction?
You see, now this gets down to the question. This is one of the serious problems with shadow owners was that our jurisdiction was actually quite limited. And really were just sort of, we're really part of an organization with a lot of leadership levels, probably very top heavy also, by the way. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a lot of discretion allowed in our sort of almost like borderline policing work. It wasn't really clear what our real job was, except to maintain order. In what was
demon police. Yeah, 100%. I would call it demon
sort of
police
a terrifying
officers.
World of different, I don't even know, like creatures, but demons that not, and the mundanes. It was just very complex. And honestly, I think the work, for one, I don't think that the shadow hunters were being paid well enough.
Well, we being paid at all.
We just got room and board.
As shadow hunters? The actors obviously were being paid.
No,
that's not what we're claiming
paid
here. The Disney Corporation didn't pay us. That's not what we're claiming in any way. I would like to work for them again.
I'm talking about Alec and Jace and Kat.
Yeah.
And
we weren't.
Kat.
Not
Kat.
Clary.
Kat got paid.
So close.
Clary.
So close.
So what are the shadow owners? What motivates them?
Duty, honor.
Duty and honor?
Every time I say duty, Dom can't handle it.
Well,
he loses it.
It doesn't sound right to me. We would say duty.
Sounds...
Duty. Is that better?
We would say duty, darling.
Duty.
Yes.
Duty is much more important to Dom's people than it is to ours. And I just don't think that duty and honor were an appropriate paycheck. And also, we established they don't have robots. So they're also mopping the floors. They don't have robot vacuums. They're vacuuming. At the end of the day,
I had
Alec
a whole
Playwood
episode where that's
takes
all I
off
did.
His tie, his sword, and he vacuums the entire institute.
Does he?
Well,
I want to watch that
at some
episode.
Point he did.
At some point, like when we were trainees, I'm sure that was our job was to vacuum. Mm. I shouldn't be doing this motion.
Very hierarchical.
This could be anything.
I'm
making a pizza.
Lower level.
Is that what you're doing?
Did we have a kitchen?
Yeah.
Did we have a Shadow Hunter's kitchen? Do we ever see that?
Yeah. Well, no, we don't see it.
Remember that one scene where we got to have breakfast? For
that
like
was so
4 hours.
Fun.
It was awesome. It was like pancakes and bacon. God,
like Hogwarts.
Oh, it was the best. That was the best
so
day.
So cool.
I had such a good day
that day. That was such a bizarre moment.
It was
Although
so
we
bizarre.
Could not keep a straight face, though. None of you.
No. My bacon was
there
delicious.
Was something so strange about having us all sit down and eat. It was just so strange.
Such an out of the box thing. Which I, again, like just one room that we used for almost anything. We used it for weddings. We used it for breakfast, apparently, which I'd assume means also lunch and dinner. We used it for training. We used it for fight scenes. We used it for someone else help me out because I'm running out of things. I got to 7.
I think we definitely brought a demon onto the planet in that one.
Oh, we did. Summoning.
Yes, but practically, yes, we did it in our studio. But I always assumed that it was meant to represent different rooms. In the institute. Like the breakfast room was not meant to be the same as the
studio.
Training room.
Yeah.
It was not to be the same as the wedding room. But we use the same
separate.
Space. But,
no,
but
it's
I,
the same room,
I always
the
assumed
same room.
That it was meant to be different parts of the institute.
Which was your favorite room in the institute? So the institute, for those of you who don't know.
I like the training room.
You like the training room?
Yeah. It's pretty.
That was also the dining room.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All the candles and the pillars.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the one we would change up a lot. So, I think my favorite room was Dom's or Jace's room.
My bedroom was 100% the coolest.
I also like the
rooms.
Chinese restaurant. The Chinese restaurant looked so authentic that at times I wanted to eat there.
You could like smell the MSG on your way through.
We did once when
Cassie
came to visit set, we brought dim sum into...
They brought you guys dim sum.
I mean, you were there.
Alec Lightwood was getting in shape. Alec Lightwood was not allowed to eat dim sum at that point.
Oh, yeah, that didn't last very long. Like, we trained really hard, but then... And we continued training hard a lot, but, like, I stopped eating properly.
I was going to say...
I definitely was training all the time.
Yeah, so was I.
No, I started eating potatoes again at one point and pasta.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I
stopped eating potatoes.
Yeah.
No. So what else you got on that docket there? I'm bored of the Institute. I want more.
We switched up a little bit, but when you first got to set, you know, we've told you what our first impressions were, but when you first got to set, when you first met all of us, what were your first impressions? What were you most excited to dive into? What met your expectations? What was different than what you thought?
You don't have to say who's your favorite if you don't want to. I mean, if you do want to.
Well, we know it's Dom.
One of us.
Well,
then you should say it. But if it's not me, then I wouldn't worry about it. You don't need to say it. We're not going to force you to say anything you don't want to say.
I mean, when I first showed up, I didn't have a favorite. I thought all of you equally. I'll say this. Look, I mean, it's very obvious that you guys are fishing for compliments here, which is so strange. And
Dom might be.
Yeah.
I think that it's
we can
important.
Cut that out, Diego. We don't need him to say that in this. We can just.
I think it's very
we're
important.
Producers
that
of this show, we can say whatever we want. I'm going to just cut.
You
can
say
around.
You can say whatever you want, but it's not going to hide the fact that when I first met you, I was. You know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and the place looks nice, and then they bring out the food, and you're like, well, everything about this, the presentation's fantastic, the way it looks, smells nice too. Dom in particular. I mean, the restaurant. And then the food comes, which is the core element of what a restaurant is supposed to do. And it's just not very good.
Yeah.
And in terms of what kind of restaurant I'm talking about here, there are like four restaurants that I met on the first day on set. And the food was pretty good, but it wasn't great. And over time, I think it improved. And then we eventually added some other people who were just perfect from the beginning.
Chef's kiss. Very good. Mm. I like that the physicality came
like
into the analogy.
That
was very
good. I like these metaphors. Now let's talk a little bit about Alec and about this character. Because Alec
Let's leave it on a negative. Let's leave it on a hypothetical negative.
I loved all of you guys. No, I was very impressed.
No, Diego, cut that out.
You all seem like real nice people. And I was real excited. I was really excited.
Cut out all of the positive things that you said and just leave.
We can just mute Don's mic right now.
what part of this you should know? You should all know if you're listening to this. There has never been a cast of seven mains. Do we have seven mains or eight?
Eight.
It depended
eight,
on the time
with Alicia.
Which season it was that got along better. It's just not. It doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen.
People.
There's always at least one.
Yeah. Exactly. Grab seven or eight people. Just off randomly and see how you part. You ever been on a jury before?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I would like
they
to
keep
be.
Getting me, man. I'm telling you. I don't know
do
how
they find
me. Like some I talk to people. Nobody's ever been on jury. They get me like three times. I don't even think I've been alive long enough to be on the jury three times. What are the laws about this? They're throwing me on the jury. It feels like I'm a shadow hunter.
Do you respond to random emails? Like when the prince of some country that you've never heard of says you've won. You know,
that's not how they get you on jury duty.
Are you talking about if the U.S. government sends me a random email?
That's not how they get you on jury duty.
The U.S. government's a real thing.
Yes,
it is actually. Yeah, it's not. It's not like in Shadow. So remember, we're talking about two different things. So in this case, I'm not driven by duty and honor in that area, but I do feel a certain level of duty and honor, and that's why I go and I do jury stuff. But I'm starting.
Jury duty.
I'm starting to get, you know, it's running a little thin, and they pay you every day, you know. But you know,
no, they
there's
don't.
A point.
They pay you.
Yeah, they do.
It's a jury duty.
They pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they raised the amount too. I think it's like $30 a day or something. But you know, so that's maybe not enough to really inspire that duty. You need to electrify the soul. You know, you need to really tell me and not sort of chastise me. Instead, it has to be look at this honor that is bestowed upon you, and I think that they should send you cake. I think they should send you some kind of like a medal. You did a great job at jury duty. Something that really inspires you. You know, and that's the problem with the Shadow Hunter organization is they didn't do enough. There weren't enough medals. There weren't enough awards. You know, every other
awards.
Military on the planet has figured it out. That's There's true. Constant awards. They're getting pins all over them. Yeah. They look like pin cushions.
The three of us never got a single medal.
I think we got chastised. We got chastised more than we got medals.
Yeah, we just get chastised. We do something good, nothing happens. Do something.
We saved the world. The three of us saved the world like eight different times. We didn't get a single medal. Not a single one.
We also did almost destroy the world a few times. So
it's like a balance system. That's what it is. Like, we were going to give you this, but this has just negated the last six times you guys fucked up. So,
I think that actually maybe we would have gotten awards.
Well, honestly, no. But that's exactly the case, Dom. Because literally the Inquisitor, Mimi's character, after I kill Valentine, it's like, oh, okay, so you killed your dad. Good job. I guess you're not on his side, so we won't, you know, continue to prosecute you. See you later.
Oh, there's definitely some nepotism involved in all this. And also, like, for example, at the Kent Institute in Ohio, that's where Dom is actually from. It's Kent.
Oh.
Kent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or he's from
the accent
Kentucky.
And the house and
he's never
the
finished.
Backstory
it's all fake,
is a facade. Yeah. It's all a facade.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of awards, you won an award for the show.
Oh, wow. Look at that segue.
I know. I know.
I
when it came
I
up,
did,
I was like,
I won an award.
What was it?
I won the
Teen Choice Award for Breakout Star in 2016.
Teen Choice, and then I won the Best Male Sci-Fi Actor or whatever.
One, two,
sci-fi. That's right. Show. That's right. In like 2018.
Wow. Yeah, like two. Yeah. I have the surfboards.
Yeah.
You got two surfboards?
I hear you can use them.
You can. They're amazing. I have one. We have one when we won for the show. They're actually incredible.
Mm.
I've got two that are in storage right now because I don't know what to do with them.
They're in storage?
Cut them in half and use them as shelves.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant, Dom.
Cut them which direction?
Obviously, long ways.
Well, you can cut them vertically. That way, that way you can just stick them on the wall and they're nice little thin bookshelves.
Cut them which way? Cut them into tiny little strips like this, you psycho.
You know how there used to be these tests at school with like ERB tests?
Yeah.
I don't know what they used to call them, depending on the state you're in, and there'd be like logic problems
like IQ
on there.
Tests
basically trying to, determine are these kids capable of learning stuff? The answer is always no.
It was in my case, at least. Yeah.
The thing is that for actors, they should have this every year to continue on. And like it should be things like, if you receive a Teen Choice Award, which way would you cut it to turn into shelves? And things like that. I don't know.
Oh, I've missed you, Matt. I've missed you. Off on this other tangent, I'm gonna reel you both back in. I'm gonna pull the surfboard back into shore.
Okay.
And let's talk about Alec a little bit, because Alec had a huge growth and a huge development throughout the show, and changed a lot as a character. And went through a lot as a character. And so, first through third season, did you have any favorite kind of moments or favorite things that you got to do as an actor with Alec that you look fondly upon? Or, scenes that were your favorite or something.
I think that after the first season, we had a fundamental shift in the way that the show was run. And there was an effort to adjust how the storylines proceeded. And sometimes it went to more of a dark place. There was things that were more, things became more serious, I think. I think in the first season, there was a kind of lighthearted quality at times. Almost like fun was the primary focus. Did you get that sense at all? There was things that were kind of fun.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, it was pretty intense. But then it started to be like, okay. And then there were times in the second and third season, especially for the Jace character, that were quite unpleasant. And I think that Alec had a lot of that as well. But Alec, luckily, got a really nice story arc where he has he starts off kind of unpleasant and negative, and then he grows from there. Whereas I think that, Jace started off all cocky and happy, and then he got broken, and he never recovered, which was great to see. And
wow,
I think that. And Clary, what happened to you at the end, Clary?
I lost my memories. I got punished.
Lost your memories. You got punished.
Yeah.
Deserved.
100%.
I think that Alec really, if you look at it, I got to be this character that had a really nice trajectory, and it ends with him getting married and getting out of the game. Getting out of this place doesn't pay well enough, that demands duty and honor from you, but doesn't respect you. It doesn't respect your fundamental rights. It doesn't respect who you are. And that's the problem with the whole, what is the organization called? The Clave?
The Clave,
Even the name is sinister. Sinister name. And the whole organization is run by a bunch of authoritarian, somewhat, I don't even know, stuck to an ideology from the past, some kind of vaguely, I don't even know. It's like a myth-based religious society with a sort of a dictator-type quality to it. I'm not really sure how it all works.
Yeah, it does have some sort of Geneva Convention aspects to it. You know what I mean? What was our one called? There was after the uprising. There was like a
the Accords.
Did the Accords. Yeah.
It sounds like what they're trying to do is control a group of people and tell them how to live their lives. And frankly, I'm not about it. I'm not for it. And I don't like what it implies. So by the end, due to the valiant attempts of all of us to fight against this evil organization, who is the real bad guy in this film, by the way. I just want to make in this show. It's not the demons. The demons were fine. They were just chilling. They're doing the thing. They're from hell. You say just because they're from hell, they're bad. That's ridiculous. It's an absurd comment. You don't know anything about
hell. Look at my brother. And also, look at Jonathan. He wasn't that
exactly.
bad.
Exactly. No, he wasn't bad.
What are you talking about? He was absolutely evil.
He was misunderstood.
He was made, well, okay, he was injected with demon blood and then made to be evil because he was tortured for 10 years in hell.
He hung me.
Never really had a chance.
You remember? He hung me on the bridge. Yep. He hung me.
Right.
It's fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, but that's true. But, you know, you also became a demon creature and killed some people.
Well, my fault.
Well, so did I. I beheaded.
So did you. So
did
you.
It's not your fault when you get... When you get taken over by a demon
and kill someone,
he wasn't taken over by a demon
and demon and kill someone. True. No, then how is it?
It's not
how
your
is
fault.
It his fault?
It wasn't Alex's fault.
He wasn't taken over by a demon.
What happened to him?
He was raised badly.
Oh, Jonathan.
So is it his fault? How do we apply fault?
He had input. He had negative input.
How can we apply?
I mean, I beheaded
any
someone.
Level of fault to any of these characters. We can't apply fault from their birth. We can apply fault to the things they've done. We can say these things are wrong.
Yeah.
But ultimately, at the core of it, is that the Clave is an evil organization.
Are we going to get into the nature-nurture argument? Is that what's happening here?
A little bit.
No. I'm not getting into the moralistic things like that. I'm just saying that the Clave is an evil organization, hell-bent on controlling its underpaid, if paid at all,
we are servants. And very often understaffed as well. While we're on the topic, heavily understaffed.
Yeah.
Heavily understaffed.
Because you can't get new staff if you're just demanding duty and honor as the primary motivation for work.
Yeah. But what that led to was some really fun.
Sorry. Yes, hold on. You're right. Sorry. Alex, as his character, fought against that organization, marries the love of his life, the lovely Magnus. Making the lovely couple Malik. His best friend has died at one point, came back, and then the Clary person, all these terrible things happening. But he, in the end, gets married and he gets out, moves out, done. No more Clave, all done. And then they break it up from the inside. They turn it into just a normal semi-hands-on, you know, democratic environment where people get voted in, kind of.
This is what you think happened. This is your, like, we get asked this a lot, obviously. Like, what do you think happened after this? And my response is always the same. It's a bit of a cop-out, but it's like, well, it's interesting for us to give this back to the audience. You know, if 1,000 people watch it, 1,000 people are going to have a different idea of what happened with the continuation of this story, because it's all hypothetical and it's up to you and how you relate to the characters and so on. So your interpretation of that potentially is you Trojan horsed into the system to take it down from
Excellent.
The inside.
Yes, correct. And didn't like take it down in sort of like a revolutionary way. Just slowly sort of dismantled the parts that were keeping this kind of structure upright, you know.
Yeah.
And so you take a little part, you take out this position, make this position elected, and then you get some other organizations to sort of control the nature of that electorate and all that. And then you start paying people more and doing all that. And before you know it, the whole thing falls apart and the demons turn out they're not actually bad. Because, you know, you ever seen the show Galaxy Quest?
No.
The movie, you know?
Yeah.
So the historical documents.
Best movie ever made.
The show that these fellows were on. And ours are like historical documents. They're designed to present a story that's not entirely true. The enemies are demons and all that, but it's all heightened. And in fact, none of it was actually that.
What an interesting concept. Like if aliens are watching this right now somewhere in a distant galaxy, or maybe on the distant edge of our galaxy, who knows? With no context, they're watching this, and who do they think are the good guys versus the bad guys? Because we do some messed up stuff.
And do they view this as a propaganda film? But there's a major problem in your whole statement here, is that the show's only been on the air for 7 years, right? That light hasn't even reached the edge of the solar system, I don't think.
That's true.
I mean, we weren't sending the information via light, are we?
Light is radiation. Radiation travels the speed of light. So
I understand. Oh, okay. So our
so maybe the maybe the aliens on Neptune, though, because Neptune is just packed full of aliens. Anyway.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think that I think that in this case, it's important to recognize that maybe the world we've been presented in the show Shadowhunters is really just sort of a propagandized show created by a organization that is fundamentally evil, the Clave, and we were servants of that empire. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
All right. You heard it here, folks.
All right, bud. Well, it's been a pleasure. See you soon. No, we have more questions.
But let's say this. Like, you know, yes, it was something that we always love talking about on the show is that the good guys weren't necessarily the good guys and the bad guys weren't necessarily the bad guys. And what that led to were some, you know, very interesting relationships and friendships along the way. For example, you know, Jace and Alec, who were Parabatai, and that, you know, you got to explore that relationship. And Alec and Clary, who were often at odds, but because they cared about and wanted the same things, they just came from very different perspectives and very different upbringings. And it was, I loved exploring, you know, seeing your two relationship develop and get explored in different and tested in different ways on the show. And then we often got put together on the show, and it was always, it was a fun balance to play between this kind of love-hate friendship.
Look, we had, like you said, we had shared goals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted, well, sometimes. You wanted to keep Jace alive because you thought he was cute.
Yeah.
And I wanted to keep him alive because he was a bond closer than brotherhood. I mean, something incomprehensible. And you were just trying to, basically, Clary was trying to take Jace from Alec. And I mean, obviously.
I wanted to share him. I didn't want to take him.
There was no, you were not.
I don't think you would have shared.
I can share.
I you cannot.
I didn't feel shared.
You didn't feel shared. Thank you, Jace, for this information. Mm-mm.
I felt like Alec got a very small piece of the pie.
Okay.
But then it turned out that you guys couldn't be together. How come?
Yeah, for a bit.
Well, we thought we were siblings for a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, you did. But you weren't.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Did you know in the books that goes on for like 3 books?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. And they still make crazy sometimes.
Yeah, that's probably not for the best. Here's the thing, though. In the end, you guys end up in a good situation. And I actually, the ending, right? So I liked, Alec ended up liking Clary and because shared goals, right?
Yeah. It's
very clear. They both understood
each other.
Yeah.
We trusted each other by the end.
Yes. I was not concerned that you'd turn code on us and do something crazy. I was more concerned that you'd get into some mischief because sometimes you would have your own little goals and ways of doing things, like raising demons that shouldn't be raised.
I don't know what
raised.
You're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. He's my brother.
Yeah, he was. Briefly. Sorry. And then he wasn't.
No, the other guy was.
Oh, the other guy. Oh, the
demon
demons.
Guy.
I think we raised more than just one demon. We're doing demons all the time.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm trying to remember as well. I think you raised a whole bunch of demons.
Yeah.
I don't know. I brought my dad back and then killed him again.
Maybe it was like a bloodlust. Maybe we were raising him because there weren't enough demons for us to slaughter.
Yeah.
And so we would be like, oh, we need to, you know.
We used to talk about this. Like, do you remember we would talk about during these like board sessions when we would just like sat around the round table and we'd be like, okay, cool. So what happens, Shadowhunters, zombie apocalypse? What happens? How do we function here? Like, these were honestly some of the best/worst ideas that we've ever had on set was dealing with how like Jace and Alec and Clary would deal with these like extraneous situations.
Yeah.
Like, didn't we go into this whole one where this was like a psychotic break that 4 friends had and they just live in this abandoned church together and pretend to fight demons with like sticks?
I think that one was just you. Yeah. I don't think you
was
ever
that
shared
me?
That one.
You know,
with
that
us.
Would be a very interesting, that would be an interesting way to, it's that thing where people go into the Narnia, whatever.
Narnia,
but
yeah.
There's no closet that they go into, and there's
the language in the wardrobe,
they're
just still in the same place, just sort of dreaming. Yeah, I think that's a good possibility, but it does reveal a little bit about themselves because they are exceedingly violent. That's one thing about
true.
Our culture. It's a very martial society, like Starship Troopers a little bit. Mm-hmm. Definitely feels like Starship Troopers.
Very Starship Troopers. You're right.
What was the nature of the question you asked there?
I have no idea.
I was talking about the relationships on the show, but...
Oh, relationships.
You touched on it. The biggest, arguably the biggest and most beloved relationship on the show is Malik. And Dom and I talk about this literally every episode. We talk about the incredible work that you and Harry did on the show for so many years, making this relationship that felt so honest and so well-structured and so... On arguably the healthiest relationship on the entire series.
Certainly the healthiest.
Yeah, Kat brings that up a lot. It's very true, which is very true, but also a little hurtful as 50% of the relationship that she was in. It's a little
I'm not
painful
talking about
here.
Anything except structure of the story and how they communicate. Jace and Clary had a lovely relationship, but they don't communicate at all.
No. Right, true. Didn't you also have a relationship with somebody else?
Simon.
Oh, Simon. She did, yeah, with Simon.
A little bit. Sebastian for a hot minute.
Sebastian.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Who was my brother in disguise.
Brother, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
So anyway, yeah. I think that it's very clear. Malik was definitely the best relationship on the show. And that's 100%. Due to people putting a lot of time and effort into it. I think that ultimately also having the tremendous support from fans also mm-hmm. really helped sort of guide. Now, I don't think that generally shows should listen to fans when it comes to making decisions about characters and things like that. And I'm not saying that our show did. However, there was some element of this that did matter deeply to fans and people who watched the show. And it seemed to be a unanimous kind of position. Mm. And it seemed to be very, very widespread. So there was a certain level of, okay, what are people looking for? And what do people really want here? And what would cause somebody an enormous amount of distress to see? So we tried to avoid things that were maybe like, for example, false to create drama. And instead, you want to create a kind of a storyline that feeds in without sort of false moments of destruction or fear about that relationship. And I think that they handled that very well. And I think that also the arc ended up working very well. So we saw a little bit of Magnus's dark side and things that he's dealing with as this immortal, ultra powerful being. And we saw a little bit of Alex growth as a very human individual who happens to have certain superpowers. And I think that by working through those on the show, as they worked with those together, which we saw a lot of, that they worked on each other's issues and they talked to each other, they communicated, that made it a very real relationship and also really justified their love for each other, which was more than just some kind of fated thing. Although you can call it fate if you want to, I don't know, depends on your opinion, but it was justified. It was justified love that grew over an appropriate period of time. We saw them grow together, understand each other, and then finally get fucking married.
Yeah. Well, and they weren't without their problems. They weren't without their back and forth.
Agreed.
Yeah. But they worked through it and it was good.
Yeah. But we should also talk about the time frame. We do talk about the time frame a lot on this show. So
that
we covered less than a month in all of the seasons. If you look at the actual time frame of what happened and when it happened within a month.
Oh, I think that I calculated this once. Was it a month?
I think it was maybe three in total. I think at the point that months? You and I are at, we're about halfway through season two right now.
Yeah.
So it's been about a month for us. But I think in total, it's about 3 months. Because there's one point it jumps a week. And there's one point, like there's certain things that happen. But I think you're right, Matt. I think it was like three and a half months in total.
Yeah, I mean.
When you know, you know.
That always happens. That's like on Breaking Bad. It was like Breaking Bad was only 9 months or something, or 8 months, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
It just happens. You know, you just have to sort of take it as you see it. Time is a
construct. We made it up.
It is.
It's a construct.
We made it up. Humans made it up. The aliens watching on Neptune, they're like, we don't care because we have a different version of time. You know what I mean? Their days will be much longer, right?
True love knows no time. You know, you got an 800-something-year-old warlock and a 20-something-year-old shadow hunter. Love knows no time.
Hey, there's a certain point at which, you know what I've noticed about getting older, which I stopped that like 6 years ago.
You just quit aging.
It wasn't for it. But one of the things I noticed about it was that there is a point at which you sign of just, it's just kind of the same, right? Yeah. And it's actually interesting. Yeah. Like, humans don't really have the capacity to really evolve themselves all that far. You get to a certain point and then you start degrading. And for some people like Dom, it starts when they're 12. For me, I haven't hit that degrading part yet. Kat, same as you, I think, probably. I don't know.
I think so much of what you do is degrading.
Oh, God. You just...
But, the worst. Dom with the jokes today.
On top of
Dom
it.
Dom is like a stand-up comedian today. Goodness gracious.
Hey, I mean, I'm laying them on thick here without even giving... I'm sorry for what I'm doing today. I'm sorry.
Never
I
just apologize. Really
don't be. This has been, we've done so little work here. This has been the easiest guest thus far.
We've been awaiting your arrival for so
much. We've done a ton
much.
Of work. What are you talking about? This is work.
No, Kat and I have done
Hanging
no work.
Out with you
we've
is
done
work.
No work. We've just. Very good. Very good. I'm not even mad. That's very good.
I mean, you did get paid to hang out with us for like 5 years, and now you just have to do it for free. And you're like,
oh, wait. Yeah.
You know?
It's not just duty and honor that drives this friendship. You know?
Stop it.
I need to be paid for it.
I'm going
to
pee my pants. You got to stop. Like, I think it's really funny.
Maybe you shouldn't sit in that chair then, Dom.
Yeah, I shouldn't sit in this chair. I don't think it's been scotch guarded.
Sit on a towel. I wanted to say something about the time the show went on
Love
for a while.
Time.
Oh, right. So anyway, you get to a certain age and you sort of stop progressing. And I think that you can learn new things, but you're still the person you were at some point. And I know people say this, like sometimes like some people are stuck at a certain age. Magnus is the same way. Like, I don't really have a problem. It's like we can't apply the same sort of sense of age and understanding when somebody is of a certain age and then somebody's 850. You know, not a problem we're going to have to deal with in the real world. But if Magnus, let's say Magnus is an immortal being 1,000 years old.
Right, when someone's immortal, yeah. Well, and also doesn't have a concept of mortality, right? Like, so it's not, he's almost 1,000 years old.
But oh, it would infantilize him a little bit. Yeah, it would keep him kind of as a child because you don't, without the fear of death, you don't have that constant sort of understanding. Also, the fact that you're not aging, so that you don't have the visible and physical factors of age. So really, he's sort of stuck as this young man. So he never really matures in that way. And you can tell that Magnus is not somebody who's of unbelievable wisdom. He's of a certain level of wisdom, but he still struggles with things that still haunt him from the past. He's not
He's not entirely omnipotent. He still has like unresolved. He still has issues that need to be faced and challenged. Yeah,
he's still has the emotional capacities of a mortal being, even though he's immortal.
And it's kind of interesting. It's strange. You know, you meet people of a certain age, and their wisdom seems to come from a sense of fatalism that there's an end coming soon, and that gives them a tremendous sense of calm and peace, or sometimes not, but they recognize a kind of acceptance of their fate, acceptance of their humanity. And when you're young, you don't really have that, and sometimes humans sometimes need that like shown to them. And sometimes it's freeing, and sometimes it creates a tremendous sense of fear.
I don't think sometimes. Like, what are the two things you're born afraid of? The dark and falling, right? Like, the two things that are innately we're afraid of as children is the dark and falling. Like, because you can have that sense of, like, being dropped is scary.
Right.
Have that concept of gravity. I think those are the two things you're born being scared of. So you're not born with a concept of mortality. You're not born with a concept of a finite end to this existence that you have. It has to be taught. It has to be learned.
That makes sense. No, but in the end, Matt, you, of all people, are timeless to us.
Oh, thank you.
And completely legendary.
What a button. Thank you.
But, you know, thank you so much for coming on with us today. And we just adore you. And we talk about your incredible work and the joy that you brought both on and off screen to us during the show. So thank you for that.
And you know what? Because I was so insufferable on this, I just want to say, I think it's great that you guys did this podcast. I think it's really cool. Fans seem to love it. And I listened to some of them, and I know that you've mentioned that fans seem to really enjoy it. And I think that's really great. The show was really an amazing experience, something really cool. And it's something that I'm not sure with the nature of TV anymore will... Something like that. I'm not sure really where that will come around again.
Yeah.
And so it was very cool to be a part of that. And I hope that people continue to watch Shadowhunters going into the future, and people who've never even heard of it, in 10 years they hear of it and they say, hey, what's this show? They check it out. And maybe it means something to them. Maybe they like it. Maybe it's important to them. So that'd be great. It's nice. Shadowhunters is a great thing.
Nice. Yeah. It's a nice thing. It's a perfect way to bring this to an end. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. We know people have been clambering at the bit to try and get you on here, us included. So thank you so much for taking some time out of your day and,
means a lot.
Sharing some stories with us.
We love you, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
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 Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Dominic Sherwood, and Catherine McNamara. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producer is Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia. And our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey, performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara. And the episode was mixed by Seth Alansky.